our featured guest this evening, actor Tom Amandes. You've seen and loved him in shows like Parenthood, Scandal, and even Arrow. Tom, how are you this fine, fine evening?
I'm doing very well. How are you, Timothy?
Very good, very good. Now, we have it on very good authority that you're from Chicago. Is that correct?
I am.
Originally from Chicago. So I want to ask you the question I always ask to people who are from Chicago. What is it about Chicago? What's the deal there? Chicago, what's the deal?
The deal with Chicago?
Yeah.
There's so many separate deals.
Well, it's such a great little city,
it is from Chicago. It is a huge,
city
with Midwestern charm.
But with Midwestern values. That's the thing. How are you able to get both the feel of a big city, but yet you're there in the middle of the Midwest and people are kind of nice to each other?
Yeah, although somebody, where was I the other day, and they're saying, what is it about L.A.? Everyone is so nice.
Oh, they haven't been here nearly long enough.
You know, I'll take that. And as with as any good Midwesterner will tell you, there's a flip side to the niceness as
Uh-oh.
Well.
Uh-oh.
You know, a certain tribal value that I think is more and more present these days.
Yeah.
But was certainly something that I was aware of. Actually, my folks are from the city.
Okay.
And after World War II, when they decided they wanted to start having kids and didn't stop till they had 11 of them.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So no television in your household growing up? No television at all?
No, we didn't have a TV until I was in grade school.
Wow.
Now, where were you in this lineup?
I'm right in the middle. I'm number six.
Whoa.
Okay, yeah. I'm number six. So actually, the only place that they could afford a house, and the housing shortage was insane. Like, my aunt and uncle were living in a Quonset hut. They threw up like Quonset huts on the northwest side of Chicago.
Wow.
Right after the war. But we were out in a little tiny farm town called Richmond, which at the time had 800 people and now is like boomed up to 1,200.
Okay, wow.
So I had a little taste of that and then moved to a little bigger town from 9 to high school, through high school. Crystal Lake, which was like 16,000, so that was pretty huge. And it wasn't until I moved into the city to go to school, to go to college at DePaul, that I was like, oh, I see.
Ah.
I'm a city person that happened to be living out in the country.
Little did you know that you had those metropolitan affectations.
And did you think that you would live long enough to see a world championship Chicago Cubs, World Series winning team?
You know, my grandfather moved to Chicago in like 1910, and he never saw one.
Wow!
My father lived in Chicago his entire life; he never saw one. So, you know, it took me till 57 to be able to say that I had seen one. So,
but were you able to follow it? Because it seems in L.A. that there is a hardcore of Cubby fans out here.
Oh, totally,
and they were well motivated.
Chicago population,
yeah.
Yeah, and in fact, anytime the Cubs come to play in L.A., there's a huge, huge contingent in Dodger Stadium, and that was no exception. I saw the last game that the Cubs played at Dodger Stadium this past year, I would say it was probably, I mean, certainly the Cubs fans were cheering louder.
Ah!
and it was
because they were
awesome.
Winning, probably.
And they were, yes, they were.
Now I have to ask you. You've done so much great stuff on TV, but you did Arrow. So you were a villain in Arrow. How is it taking that comic book money? How is it being part of that huge wave that didn't really exist 10 years ago? There's so many comic book TV shows and comic book movies and stuff streaming on Netflix. How was it to be? How did you feel being part of that bit of the zeitgeist? Now that it seems like westerns used to be, people used to make westerns all the time. Now we don't make westerns. How did it feel to be part of a comic book?
That is a good I think that is a good analogy, because certainly when I was a kid, it was like there were so many westerns.
Yeah.
And I remember like I kind of liked westerns, but I never was like a huge
right.
Well, of course, I ended up moving out west. But the other thing about Arrow is that, you know, I was the calculator, so I had this evil part of me, but basically, I was a dad, and of course, the show is is put together by Greg Berlanti, who
right.
I had done
right.
Everwood, you know, where I played Emily Van Camp and mm-hmm. Chris Pratt's dad for years, you know. So it was kind of along the same lines
okay.
as that, except we're, you know, about to have the world blow up.
but of course, otherwise...
Of course, a villain never thinks he's a villain.
Right.
No,
right.
no, not at all. Not at all. And certainly Noah was no exception in that regard. I mean, he was just trying to do the best he could for himself and his family.
And they wow. and they always, back to John Milton, they always have the best lines, the villains. The villains always have the best lines. Don't you find?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And the fun thing was, you know, that I was sort of the dysfunctional father figure as well, but still the father figure.
Right.
Whose daughter was not really thrilled to have me back in her life.
Oops.
but, yeah. Yeah, so, you know, I got to play some of that stuff as well, which is always great.
So you do TV, which we've seen a lot of you. You do film, but you also do stage work. So you're doing a play here in Southern California. Can you tell us a little bit about what you're doing there?
Well, and I should say this is the very first play that I've done here. My experience in theater has always been Chicago theater.
Which is a great theater town. It is a real Steppenwolf.
Amazing.
It's a great theater town.
It's an amazing theater town, and you know, I'm thrilled that I had a chance to learn the ropes there, because there's really no better place. So I've been spoiled, you know, because the quality and the commitment in Chicago theater is second to none. I mean, when I started school, I went to DePaul, the theater school, which had the Goodman School of Drama had just moved to DePaul, and I was the first class, along with people like Ann Dowd and Elizabeth Perkins and Joe Gisaldo, Kevin Anderson, some great actors that have done really well. John C. Reilly.
Oh, yeah.
Michael Rooker. You know, all these guys were in school. And it was fascinating because we were also right there where, like, Steppenwolf had just started they had a theater there on Halsted Street, but it was north of where the one is. And I used to be able to usher.
Oh, wow.
And you got to see, you know, Malkovich and Perry and Kenny and all these guys get up there, and just it was like, wow, that's what I'm shooting for.
That's acting. That's what
yeah,
you're at.
Yeah. And I have to say I've been a little shy about jumping into it here in L.A. because, you know, it's a different environment. So much of the theater here is done as a showcase.
Right.
And that to me is not interesting. It's like if I'm going to do a play, I'm going to do a play because of the merits of the play itself, not because some producer or agent or famous person is going to come and see me. It's like that's never been a reason for me to want to do anything.
So if it's about the play, if it's about the play, Tom, what was it about this play?
Well, this is a really interesting sort of combination of where I was pretty classically trained. You know, so I did my Chekhovs in college and then from there I moved to the Body Politic Theater, which did a lot of Shaw and Shakespeare and Irish plays, and the Core Theater down at the University of Chicago, which did translations of different plays and as well as more Shakespeare's and that kind of thing. So I had a pretty classical, upbringing in Chicago theater. This play is a new play by a woman, Dorothy Fortenberry, who I had not heard of before, who's an amazing writer. In fact, she's one of the writers on this show that's been getting so much buzz, called The Handmaid's Tale.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and in fact, my compatriot from college, Ann Dowd, is playing the evil Lydia in that mm-hmm. that show, and it's amazing. She's an amazing writer, and she had the idea of doing a play that had the vibe of Chekhov's Cherry Orchard, but setting it in present-day California,
right,
just before and just after the Trump election.
Wow! All right,
which ripped from the headlines. Ripped from the headlines.
Well, it is. It is, and it isn't, because you have this sort of timeless feel as Chekhov does, but it's also very much about its time and place as well. You know, specifically California, and specifically as opposed to a cherry orchard It's set in Mendocino County at a vineyard.
Okay.
That is struggling for many reasons.
As many vineyards do. Vineyards, everyone thinks owning a vineyard would be like a great thing to do. It's like
owning a racehorse. It's a long shot.
I have a lovely garden here. I live up in the Hollywood Hills, not far from the Hollywood sign. I have a lovely hillside garden and fruit trees. And
wow.
It's so much work for my little garden. The idea of having hundreds of acres of vineyard, it makes me almost suicidal. the amount of work is just has got to be shocking.
It seems so much easier just to go down to the BevMo. And if you want a bottle of wine, just go down there. They've got you sorted.
Two buck chuck, you can't beat it.
You can't. Yeah. So if
you can afford to have all the people that do all the work and then you take whatever the profits are, that would be a wonderful thing.
As long as you didn't have to be tying back vines with your delicate hands. My fingers are very delicate. I don't think I could do that sort of...
My hands are kind of beat up. They're not, they've never been delicate.
So I've got to ask you, Tom, can you lay it out for our listeners, the who, what, when, where, how of this great play?
So at I Am a Theater, we'll actually be performing at the Atwater Village Theater in Atwater, starting May 11th through June 11th, so pretty easy to remember that. And we're performing Fridays, Saturday, and Sundays. And the place to go for tickets is iamatheater.com, theater spelled T-H-E-A-T-R-E.
Because it's classy.
Uh-huh.
It's classy.
It's always classy. I've had arguments with people because I always went with the ER version. Like, no, actually, the more correct spelling is RE.
And the name of the play. Let's drop the name of the play. I don't think we've mentioned.
The name of the play is called Species Native to California.
Okay.
And deals specifically with that theme. It's like, what does that mean for a plant to be native to California? But also, what does it mean for us Anglos that have stepped into this place that was inhabited by Native Americans originally, and the Spanish after that, at a time when the Spanish and the Native Americans are kind of coming back and becoming more and more of the majority in this state at a time when the country is freaking out about that very topic.
I want to thank you so much, Tom Amandes, great actor. We've loved you in so much that you've done. Thank you so much for being part of the bigger picture.
It was a pleasure.
Friends and neighbors, we're going to take a short commercial break.